Blog Talk Radio.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we lose our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we lose our soul, if it takes all night long. The evening sun is sinking low. The clock on the wall says it's time to go. I got my plans, and I got plans for you. I'll tell you all exactly what we're all gonna do. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Why is it 12 o'clock and it might be 3? Time doesn't mean that much to me. Ain't felt as good since I don't know when. Don't know when I'm gonna feel this way again. So come on, get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Might be 6 o'clock, it might be 8. It don't matter that it's getting late. We're gonna make the band play one more song. Get in the groove if it takes all night long. Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Fill My Eyes and Laurent with Poetry. Sadly, Laurent won't be joining us tonight. He has not been feeling well, so he's been under the weather for the last week. Hopefully, he will have a speedy recovery and be back with us shortly. Anyway, let's see. We have a good board of poetry tonight, as always, always, always. And I hope everyone had a wonderful week, and I hope you have an even better weekend ahead. And may next week bring all of you so much joy. I know it's Christmas and everybody's worn out, and, you know, some people are pumped because that's the way it works, but some people are just worn out because it's a lot to do at Christmas time. And I give everybody credit for hanging in there. So absolutely, that's just the way it's going to be a good one. It is. Everybody's going to be so glad to just be a little more relaxed than last year. Last year was A little tough on everybody. Unlike the year before, that was even worse, I believe. Anyway, you know, it's what we make of it, I think. So anyhow, let's see. Right now, it's just me, and you're all stuck with listening to my voice. But I have some carryovers that have some SoundClouds. So I think maybe I'll start with one or two of those. So let me see here. I'm going to start. Let's see. I have one by Miss Diane Z. This is called Time Is Not a Cliche. Let me put that up. And we hit that button.
Time Is Not a Cliche by Diane D. Old age does not creep up on you. It greets you from the official time of birth. And from there on, is always 1 second ahead of you, reminding you that you cannot get that second back. It follows you from the doors within the mist that time leaves open for you, then hides in the creases of your wrinkles. Time gets its deserved attention that day you realize that the earlier it gets late and that you have a favorite spatula. Suddenly, you compulsively begin making lists in the middle of penning that better than frost poem. At a certain age, everyone begins to see through time. Let that be this moment. Time cautions you to find your future. When your past is getting too large to carry, don't hang on to your past, mistaking it for your future. You will never outrun it, but you can always walk beside it. Unless that moment comes when you are no longer racing against time, because time has crossed the finish line. Life starts the moment you realize that being 18 is no defense against becoming 80. If you accomplish anything in your lifetime, stop at this moment and acknowledge time with respect, knowing that you will only ever have that moment until that day that you do outrun time. You're not in a race. You're on a journey. End poem.
Nice job, Diane D. I think that was very well said. There's something about time. I'm growing old. We can't get around it, that's for sure. But I'll tell you what, I have a caller, so I'm going to pick her up real quick. And I believe it's Naomi. Hello, Naomi.
Hello, how are you?
Pretty good. I'm tired today.
Yeah, I did nap this afternoon.
I took a nap not that long ago, but I'm telling you, maybe I just need a good night's sleep instead of a nap. Hey, listen, did you hear Diane's poem?
Yeah, I actually heard that one before when she wrote it, and I commented on it. And yeah, it's deep and it's an insightful write that has wisdom like along each line. I loved how she composed every stanza and brought them together to form this astounding write. And I really like time gets its deserved attention that day you realize that the earlier it gets late and that you have a favorite spatula, suddenly you compulsively begin making lists in the middle of penning that better than frost poem. You know, that's really neat there, that stanza, you know. And it's so true, too. Yeah, when you get, like, start forgetting things and you start to, yeah. So I thought this was quite an incredible write from D.
Right. Now, I thought, I agree with you 100%. You know, the favorite spatula line really had me chuckling because I'm like, yeah, I have one of those. It's like, wow.
it's true. This is the one Yeah, the best one for the eggs. Like I have one, you know, that I use just for the eggs. It's like it works just that perfectly.
Yeah, one for eggs and one for pancakes, and they can't be, you know, the egg one works for the pancakes. The pancake one doesn't work for the eggs. Yes, I get it. I get it. Scary, isn't it? We are. We're creatures of habit, and we find what works for us, and we stay there. But I'm one of those people, if it's not broke, why fix it, right? Yeah, that's the way I look at that. But, yeah. But, I know I did. I thought this was really well done, and I think it really had, you know, a lot of good points in it and things that are relatable to all of us. So,
yeah,
you know, very well expressed. Absolutely. Let's see now. What is happening out here? It's still just you and me. So let me see.
Yeah.
I have more service.
I couldn't leave you alone. I had to phone in.
Well, I like that. Because you know how it is. What I got okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Okay, I'm going to grab another one. I'm trying to figure out where I want to go. Couples that have sound class, but I don't want to do them all at one time. And I don't want to do yours because it's just, you know, the two of us. You won't even get two comments. You get one.
Yeah.
Put this on. Oh, we got Rex online. Dun, 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 dun. It's Rex. Hello, Rex.
I'm here.
Hi, Rex.
Hello, hello, hello.
That was Rex's Touch of Madness for a Friday night. Yes, yes, yes. See, he thought he might have a night off, but keep him figuring it out. Well, let's see now. Rex, you are just in time for the first fellas piece of the night. How's that? Put that up and I'll let you read that for us. By Rob Polsky. I'm not sure.
Dreaming Big by Robert Polsky. Plants a dream in a moonlit beam. Unattainable distant visions. Hold the thought. Let it swell. Stop bringing provisions. Dream asleep. Dream awake. Aim like you live forever. Hold them fast. Don't let them die. Tread softly, revered treasure. Make a plan. Find a way. Build solid foundation. Erect castles in the air by the gods' agnation. Don't waste days passing empty. You'll squander your life. Open eyes, live the dream, make the day of night. See the sun before the crowds, the others on the ground, like birds of prey soar high, but swift them between the clouds. Be far-fetched, be daydreamer, eyes bright as a sunlit airstream. Dance with life's thrilling stars, dream bold within the dream. And Paul.
Nice job. Nice read. You want to run comments, Rex?
Well, if you're going to dream, well, you did take a prompter. If the little dreaming is dangerous, the cure for it is to not dream less, but to dream more, to dream all the time. And it's on that note of walking past that which might keep you grounded. Well, not really that, but actually think beyond on the thought of normality. Walk within that which could be possible, and thereby gives you the idea of what you might do to make that possible. And if, even if that doesn't work, don't give up on the dream. Just look at it a different way, from a different perspective, and find another way that that might be possibly attained, and keep doing it until you actually hit the right note that makes it work. In other words, don't ever give up on the dream itself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, Naomi, you want to comment? Nice comment.
Yeah, I agree with Rex's comment there. We see it in that stanza, make a plan, find a way, build solid foundation, erect castles in the air, be the gods, Agnation. We see that, you know, don't spoil a day, just build those castles, you know, right in the air and reach for the sky, you know, like they say, and just go on and fulfill those dreams, you know, but with a solid foundation. So yeah, so everything he said there. Just another amazing write by Robert Pilecki. He just amazes me.
I agree. It was a great piece. I was listening. I could pick any one of the stanzas, you know, and point out something in each one. I like see the sun before the crowds, the others on the ground, like birds of prey soar high, flit swift between the clouds. Be far-fetched, be daydreamer, eyes bright as a sunlit airstream. Dance with life's thrilling stars, dream bold within the dream. I mean, really, really nicely written piece. I thought that it was just really excellent and enjoyable. So, excellent work, Robert. Thanks for sharing with us. Now, Rex, just so you know, I wasn't crazy. I didn't ask you to comment. I asked you if you wanted to run comments.
Oh.
I don't usually do that right after somebody reads. But I just want to make sure you knew. You're sitting there going, what the heck she asked me so quick for? I just finished reading it. So just so you know, I'm not quite as crazy. Okay. But yeah, great piece and a great read too, Rex. Let me bebop one over here. Okay, Naomi, I'm going to grab this one for you. And this one's by Daniel Duham.
Okay.
Yeah. Figure out where the room is. And there we go.
Smile. A smile. Lips of golden red, smooth to touch, invitingly haunting. Hands exploring every curve of a perfect body, replaced by a hot tongue, licking the honey off, kissing every spot, giving up, earnestly reaching the hot gates of paradise. Passions flared until cold sweat ensued, locked together like glue. Time is forgotten by love making way into the night until a peak of sunlight. Squealing and moaning in the throes of lust like a demon summoned from hell. Then the realization of reality comes to light and lovemaking comes to an end, but not forgotten until tried again.
Yes. Well, there's a touch of boom, like a like a like a boom, like a like a like. Down, down, down. I want to take you higher. Here's a note strangely touched on a Friday evening. Hey, did we walk into Wednesday?
It's Frisky Friday.
In here, reaching the hot gates of paradise. Passion flared until a cold sweat ensued, locked together like glue. I like the opening up with the thought of a bits of golden red, smooth to touch, invitingly haunting and exploring. Then you finish out. There's that note and lovemaking comes to an end, but not forgotten until tried again. So there's that the finish, but the actual finish draws you back to restart. It kind of offers up a nice circular motion, so to speak.
Oh, my God. Funny. Hello?
I'm here. You want me to do that again?
Am I supposed to be doing something?
No. Hey, Mo. Hey, Larry. Look what they're doing.
Look. I heard what you said. I just didn't hear the lay. I mean, did you toss it off to me? I'm not trying to be so.
Yeah, you can. You can comment now. Let's do it. Put it on repeat.
Well, before I comment, I'd like to welcome Dan to the show.
Hi, Dan.
Hey,
hello.
Hello, Dan.
Hello. How are we all doing?
And this is Nadine.
Fine.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a while for me to jump on a show, but I'm glad. I'm very busy, but I actually have a little time, so, and I'm actually awake,
right.
So I thought I'd jump on. And I came on right in the right time with that poem. Let me tell you, now I'm wide awake.
Well, I think Daniel Duhem did a great job with this piece, and I thought it was a wonderful take on the prompt, because this was written for last Wednesday, a damn last month. So, I think you did a wonderful job reflecting that. It was steamy, it was hot, and it was well done. So definitely nice job, and thank you, Dan, for writing for the contest. Okay, Rex.
Thanks for that notion. I'm dreaming of a hot Christmas.
Can't help it. It happens sometimes. You know, got to do these carryovers. But it's all good. Oh, boy. Okay. Rex, am I doing comments?
Oh, I'm sorry. Naomi, yeah. I'm really a little off key now. Naomi, what do you think?
Yeah, it's the first time I read something like this from Daniel Jam. So, I was like, what? I always read these, like, these, you know, these spiritual, more philosophical pieces, you know, beautiful pieces of poetry. And this is written beautifully, but it's just like, you know, it surprised me a bit because maybe I haven't read enough of him, you know, yet. But this is a beautiful, very passionate write and very well written. Wow. And just bravo there, Daniela, Miss Peace. Just a wonderful piece of passionate poetry here. Very sensual.
I think I have to back up a second. I'm sorry. Just so you know, this piece was by Daniel Duhem. I just answered the phone and I introduced Dan as Dan, but it's Daniel Duhem we just picked up. So,
I
think you were Dan Duhem, not Dan Duhem.
I thought it was
just
Budo.
I didn't know. Oh my God. No, wrong Dan completely.
Yeah, I did not write this one. I wish I did. But,
so didn't he?
That's all right. That allows you to comment on it, though.
That's true.
Oh my God.
I might have to read it a few times more now after reading it, but this is very you know, erotic but tasteful, and to me, I'm thinking this is almost as like a fantasy as opposed to something actually happened. That's the smile on his face is picturing this, because then I hear the realization of reality comes to light and lovemaking comes to end, but not forgotten and she'll try it again. So to me, he's more that's the smile is on his face, kind of you know, fantasizing or imagining this with this woman. But yeah, it's very, very, very erotic again, but tasteful and beautifully written.
I see. So, Dan, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. All right, Jean, how about you?
I thought that I answered this. I did already.
Oh, okay.
Don't do that.
Well, in that case, it's back to you, Jean.
Y'all just want to give up attention. That's what it is. Okay. Yes. Yes. That's what I was saying.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I'm going to find the room. There it is. Oh, Frank. Let's see what I got here. Dean, can I get you to read the next one? Daniel?
Did you say me? Oh, me? Okay, sorry.
Yes, sir.
I think it's a G. Yes, I think we're all very sleepy tonight, but it's okay. Yes, let's let me read this one. This is by Chamath Akalanka. This is called Wanderer. Now the deserted moon, it rocks my world. Goodbye, some may say, to the departing canoe. I say sweet voyages ahead, but I must remain without a forest of dreams, all overhanging me like a pillar, from ropes to a destination stood. I hope not the sky to melt my longing, the rope not to break, the men not to tire, the eyes not to blind, water not to be concerned. You have eyes like this, yet you wander not. Why wander not? Why remain quiet, like the mountain, the moon to put to sleep crumbled paper? Don't be put to sleep. Wander, wander, till the earth, till it breaks, till until it loosens and gives you all that it hoards. Oh, you may be still like the lark, watching still moon becoming a crescent. What else, the meaning of all these, than the continual disappearance of a night, and day it shall become with light. End poem.
Great read, Dan. Thank you very much. All right, Naomi, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, this is has a classical feel to it. I love the lines, the moon put to sleep crumpled paper. Wow, that's a great line there. And, it's just like pondering, I think, on our existence here upon Earth, I think, and just contemplating, our place here, and that's what I see in it. Just like it has the time that we wander this Earth, or the importance of our existence and what we are, what the heck we're doing here on Earth, I guess. And it's a wonderfully written poem, and there's incredible lines in here. Hanging me like a pillar from ropes to a destination stood. I hope not the sky to melt my longing. There's just incredible lines throughout this. So this is the first time I've read this poet. It's just amazing, his writing here. Bravo.
Nicely said, Naomi. Thank you very much. And Jean, how about you?
I think that this is a great write. It's definitely I like the direction he went, like, and the directions he went. He wrote, I hope not this, wow, my eyeballs are out. I hope not the sky to melt my longing, the rope not to break, the men not to tire, the eyes not to blind, water not to be a concern. You have eyes like this, yet you wander not. Why wander not? Lots of hopes and dreams and questions about why we stay where things don't, or, are or are not a certain way. I think it was an interesting write. I thought it was thought-provoking. And well done. So,
thank you, Dean. And Dan, you got to read that. What did you think?
I did get to read it. It was very beautiful, and I think a great metaphor of the wanderer, just as all of us wandering through life, right? That's kind of what we always do, and I really like the I hope the sky not to mount my lawn, the rope not to break, the men not to tire. So, you know, you want to keep going. You want to keep having the strength to keep moving on and exploring life. And I like the whole thing of us all as wanderers, which we are. You know, no matter what we're doing, we're you know, even if we're sitting in our house all day, we're still kind of wandering through life and experiencing whatever comes at us. And goodbye, some may say, to the departing canoe. I say sweet voyages ahead. So that really positive, I can't wait to see what's kind of coming up next. So, yeah, very, very deep and you know, philosophical and really, you know, beautifully written. I like the composition of it as well, too. I like his style. So nice job, Chimeth.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Dan. And I agree with you on this. You did have that note. Where was it? That sort of the world offering up its treasures. Kind of hits that note of the world is your oyster. Don't let it go to waste. And I thought the running the moon as the metaphor was really clever too. Now that there's a moon, it rocks my world. And then overhanging me like a pillar. Kind of had me thinking. By the time he got down with the crescent, I mean, he was using the moon in its phases, but also the thought of the rope and the thought of wandering had me thinking of, hey, dance on a moonbeam, grab it and go for it. Kind of walks that notion, and then there was where was it? Oh, the moon puts to sleep crumbled paper. There's that notion of like the mountain. You know, Muhammad won't come to the mountain. The mountain won't come to Muhammad, and Muhammad must go to the mountain. That crumbled paper thought goes, hey, don't give up on the notation that you're writing in the moment. Furthermore on that, and day it shall become with light. There's that notation. Hey, it might take you all night to get there, but don't give up on the journey to that point. Nicely done there, Jenny. Thank you. All right, Jane, we're coming to your way.
Okie dokie. Well, let's see now. I have a piece we're going to put up by Titus Llewellyn and SoundCloud for that one. And then we'll start back up at the top. Oh, we have another caller, too. I think we have Thomas with us. Hello, Thomas.
Hello.
How are you? Hi, Tom.
Good.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Thomas. Just about kicked off all of the cold that I was suffering from, so, you know. Tomorrow I'll probably wake up good.
Well, I hope you do. I hope it's all gone. Okay. Are you just in time to hear this piece by Titus Llewellyn? I'm going to put it up. Right. What do you say?
The secret dream we kept, a while between us being fully clothed, the distance which prolongs us both instead, would keep amid frustration.
Well, well, well. That's not lining up.
No, his words and these words aren't the same.
No. So let me... Oh. Well, let me give me 2 seconds. 2 seconds. Talk about something.
Okay.
You said me. Don't talk about me.
Go ahead.
Well,
make
now
something.
We got nothing to talk about. That's what we're all going to talk about now.
We're going to talk about now.
It's our favorite subject.
Something. Anything?
I'm just reading this poem right now, actually.
I heard that, just so you know. I heard that.
Oh, you heard that.
I'm up here in Massachusetts waiting for our first snow of the season tomorrow, which will be fun.
yeah,
or in D.C.,
too, yeah.
And they're talking and they're talking in the high 60s tomorrow.
Ah, we had that today. Sorry, I'm picking up my son from college, so he's gonna help me shovel, so just in time.
put
him right to work. Put him right to work.
Spending so much time with the intellectual aesthetics that he no longer has any grounding in reality, you're going to return him to what mud is all about, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what he's doing at college, intellectual aesthetics. I'm sure that's his main goal there.
Yeah, getting laid a lot, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what's weird? speaking of that, he's in a co-ed, not only co-ed dorm, but a co-ed hallway with the possibility of they would actually allow co-ed roommates. Where the hell was that when I was in college? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, well, I was in college when the walls were breaking down.
Boys? Hey, this one males, this one females, this one co-eds, this one males, this one females, this one co-eds. That kind of draws back on itself.
Yeah, I've never, I don't remember co-ed, like, hallways. It was always like there were the different hallways. To the point when I dropped off the first day, I went to use the bathroom, and they had condom dispensers in the... Go ahead. I'm sorry, Tom.
Oh, when I slept in the girls' dorm, they had a sign that you put on the door that said, man inside, you know, and after that, everything was fine.
there you go. Yeah, different times.
You know, we all adapt. I think that's the most important thing to remember. The goals have pretty much the same from the get-go. We just have different ways of letting them take place.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. It does kind of make it easy when you go out for a panty raid. You don't have far to go.
That's right. You just go to the room next door.
You just go down the hall.
You go down the hallway. The drawer is in the room you're in. You know, they're right there.
Exactly.
Are you getting over your cold, Tom?
Slowly but surely. I think I'm at the last legs of it tonight, and I hopefully am going to wake up tomorrow morning.
Well, I'm glad you're better, but don't call me Shirley. Sorry, I couldn't resist that joke. Yeah, there's some bad colds going around.
You know, it's part of the joy of being over 70 is that you, once you pass 60, you learn that the 24-hour flu takes about 5 days. everything happens a little quicker and takes a little bit longer.
Oh, that's because it's not fresh meat anymore. It's trying to get through.
That's right. Did we lose Jean?
I don't know. She was going. Should one of us read this out loud, then we'll talk about it.
I think she wants to do a check on the SoundCloud, see if something screwed up on the transfer.
It's kind of loaded, and then I was having a problem with it, so I just it just irritated me, so I'll have to play with it in a little bit. You know, it's when you get in there, you're doing something, do it a million times, and all of a sudden it just doesn't work the same way. It's like, whatever. Let me see now. Oh, gosh darn it. Okay, I'm going to grab Naomi's piece, the story. Just go there. And
okay, we're going to dish Llewellyn?
Yeah, we're going to leave.
Poor Titus. I knew him well.
Yeah. I'll get back to him when I get a minute to do my...
Frank, say, are we talking about the birds or the bees or the weather? Kind of both, Frank. Can the birds and the bees last in the weather? That's what we're talking about.
Okay.
When the weather turns bad, that's when the birds and the bees play.
That's right. When it's bad weather, they're all
future mother-in-laws, and the birds and the bees are what got you there in the first place.
That's right.
Okay. Okay. Now, Naomi, if you would be so kind as to go ahead and read your piece, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so a couple of you already heard this piece. It was in Rex's contest, so he heard it.
I heard it.
Yeah, and Tom heard it too, I think, eh? Piece together pieces. I walk into Alice's restaurant in my imagination or in a dream, sit at a little table in the corner, order a cup of coffee, some apple pie on the side. And I scribble upon a napkin, piece together pieces of poetry, some old and some shiny brand new, some old, some shiny brand new, piece together pieces of poetry, some old and some shiny brand new. As outside, raindrops drum upon shimmers of sunlight, to the delightful beat of rainbowed umbrellas, oh, dancing, dancing in the wind, up and down on glistening sidewalks. The trees are dressed in rusty reds and orangey yellows as beds of leaves lay at their feet awaiting the blanketed softness of snow. As overhead geese honk, their hurtled V's fading into a black speck in the distant sky as leaves tumble across lawns to settle at the foot of a for sale sign in front of a now lifeless home where a trash bin stands at the end of its empty driveway like a huge period. And I scribble upon a napkin, piece together pieces of poetry, some old and some shiny brand new, some old and some shiny brand new. I scribble upon a napkin, piece together pieces of poetry, some old and some new, some old and some brand new. And in the other corner, a heartbroken piano man, in a raspy roar of rock and roll refrain, belches out the kind of love that turns umbrellas inside out, so you never dance singing in the rain. Flips over magician hats, so you never again hum Abra, Abracadabra, as the rain pelts the window panes, and I see my beaten reflection mirrored in one single drop, and I shudder under the rippling effect of me slamming that door shut and walking away from you, walking away from you, walking away from you, walking away from you. And I scribble upon a napkin, piece together pieces of poetry, some old and some shiny brand new, some old and some shiny brand new, piece together pieces of poetry, like rainbowed umbrellas dancing, shiny and brand new, listening and dancing in the wind and poem.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you very much. And I do remember this. This was, the Alice's Restaurant show we had, but you also said this came as you took bits and pieces from other mm-hmm. poems to create this itself.
Yeah.
Which I do remember because there was that one piece in here that really struck me, like the garbage can. The exclamation point of a garbage can at the end of the driveway struck me from another piece. That was such a nice kind of turn of phrase that I remembered it in the moment back then. And then you use it again. Oh,
yeah,
dark.
I did what they call a pastiche, I think, when you take parts of different poems and put them together.
Absolutely, I do remember. And Dan, let's get what you said. Danny, are you mutating?
Oh, sorry, I was mutating and mutifying over there, so sorry about that. Yeah, this might be my favorite poem by you, I think, maybe because it just has all these other pieces together. And your reading was fantastic, too. I honestly, I could have listened to that all day. I could really feel it from you. It was very Very beautiful, the way you read that. So, you know, to me, the way you put this together, I didn't know where you were going at first, and I try not to skip ahead. You know, I walked into Alice's restaurant, in my imagination, or in a dream, and I could see how you were kind of putting everything together. And the way you did this, it almost, you know, I didn't see it as a bunch of pieces together. To me, I saw you, you know, imagining yourself sitting in this restaurant and just seeing all these kind of things and happening. Or, you know, sometimes your mind kind of goes places, right? If you're just sitting by yourself in a bar or in a restaurant, just having a cup of coffee, and your mind starts to wander, and you maybe start writing things down. And that's how I pictured this, and it was just absolutely beautiful. I love poetry that is just like a tone poems, you know, that stuff that's just kind of describing the day and the feeling. And what I loved about this was I could feel you kind of, you know, even though this is a bunch together, the way you put it together, I could feel somebody sitting there just thinking and relaxing and letting their kind of mind go to different places. You know, I could almost see you sitting at a restaurant at this restaurant with the rain coming down. So just really, really beautiful. Like, this is a work of art, honestly, the way you wrote it. I loved it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well said, Dan. Thank you. And Tom, how about you?
I've been sitting here trying to remember the film I saw this in, but there was a film where it used a broken record. You know, the one where it skips and comes back and plays them and plays the same piece, then skips and goes back and plays the same piece. And
Groundhog Day.
It was well before Groundhog Day. It was an old black and white. And it was really beautifully done, because the whole idea really struck me, because you add in that you start with the heartbroken piano man, which I love that. That was a really powerful little interjection right there. And I see my beaten reflection mirrored in one single raindrop, and I shudder under the net rippling effect of me slamming that door shut and walking away from you. And then it all becomes a broken record. I don't know how to describe it. That skipping back, and then when you read that repetitive, I scribble upon a napkin, piece together pieces of poetry, some old, some shiny brand new, some old, some shiny brand new, piece together pieces of poetry like rainbow. The whole feeling of the sadness, the whole feeling of all this beautiful rain and lovely colors of the umbrellas and everything else like that just add to the pain and the pathos of the whole piece, and this feeling that I've been here once too many times. I've been here once too many times, no matter how often, no matter, you know, even if it just happened once, it's once too often, and it's all coming back. And the drumming of the rain and the repeating of the words and everything, it just all blended together. Just stunning, just utterly stunning. It's a real performance piece. I just did this. You could take a house down with this piece. Really beautifully done.
Thank you, Tom.
Well said, Tom. Thank you. And Gene, how about you?
Well, Naomi, I think you did an excellent job with this piece. I have to agree with everybody. You know, you start out, you know, you went to Alice's restaurant, you know, but you're mulling over. I envision someone sitting at a booth by themselves with, you know, I don't know, a cup of coffee or whatever, and sitting there and going over the goings-on of the day, the morning, the afternoon, whatever time of day, you know, you want this to be. And, you know, you're walking out on somebody, you know, whether it's an argument or a final, I'm out of here, you know. And I think that where you're taking that repetitive route, it's you thinking about what has just happened and transpired. And I think that's what it screams to me. And mm-hmm. I think that it was beautifully done. I mean, your read was absolutely, I mean, the poem is good. And if I read it, it would be really good. But when you read it, you know, you hit it out of the park because you had all the emphasis in all the right places. You know, you knew where you were going with it. You knew what you meant, and you aced it by, you know, letting us hear it. And I think it was just a fabulous piece. So nice job.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Said, Jean. Thank you very much. And we're coming back to you once more.
To me. Oh, yes, to me.
See, yes.
I don't quite know what I did here and how I got that Titus thing all messed up, but I thought that I had it, so now I do, though, because I went to where I had to go. So here we go. Here is the piece, and here comes the audio.
The secret dream we kept.
Oh my God.
A wall between us being fully clothed.
Oh.
Really? Really? Really?
Really?
It's meant to be read.
It's meant to be read, that piece.
I think not. I took that. Well, never mind. I'm not going to say anymore because I don't want to look any dumber than I already do. So let's just go to this. Rex, can I get you to read the next piece for us?
Sure.
I would appreciate it. Awesome.
The threat.
How good thing.
What's not been said by Titus Llewellyn.
So, okay, go ahead.
This is probably the end of the love letters. To account the days, the months, the years. You'll appear all of a sudden without tears, that our time apart be debt, as we debtors are to pay the fear, see that mine become fear. Of the love letters, this is probably the end. The amount of times I've written as yours depends on days, that the months pretend. The years were all too long apart like wars that happened, soul destroying to extend. The end of love letters, as this is probably, which I've read. I thought you were dead. I've given these doubts as I would instead. But grieve from this to worry. I am nobly waiting the threat of what's not been said. And poem. And Thomas, why don't we start with you, please?
There's a sense of fragility in this, so that the intimacy is tender and you hear the ache and the longing right there with the feeling of that our time apart be death, as we are debtors, are to pay the fee that mine becomes fears, that sense that, you know, apart too long, and things once held to be true were no longer there but gone. And yet you still write another love letter and still hope and pray that maybe there's something still there to hold on to. I mean, I love that last line. Be grieved from this to worry. I am nobly waiting the threat of what's not been said. That's a powerful line after the feelings, the sense of fear, the tenderness, the months, the years that have all gone by. It all comes down to, does it matter anymore? That's hard. That's an ache that never ends.
Well said, Thomas. I like that thought with the fragility. Thank you very much. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, I read in his note there after the poem that this is a very true story between 1986 and 2002, a total of 16 years apart. It's too painful to recall. So this is a very personal write to him. And, wow, it's so beautifully written. And, yeah, it has this class, classical feeling about it. Like, you know, something, I don't know, that... you know, a poet of a long time ago would write to a loved one during time apart, maybe during a time of war, you know. And, yeah, me too, the last sentence, like Tom said, be grieved from this to worry, I'm nobly waiting the threat of what's not being said. So maybe he didn't get any response back, and that's the threat that he's waiting for there, that, you know, just she's going to end it all, and she won't reply, or she's just going to end it, or the feeling that of heartbreak that will come after, maybe. This is just beautifully written by Titus. Wow. Just absolutely a brilliant write here.
Excellent. Thank you, Naomi. And Dan, how about you?
Yeah, I like Titus's poetry a lot. And this is very intimate, I think, within himself. It says it is a true story. So I'm sorry, Titus, if you're listening, the troubles you had with this relationship. But... it is very true, I think, that what I get out of it is the threat, what's not been said. A lot of times it's that, you know, things that we don't say that can be much worse off and can tear us apart more than even things that we say. You know, if we say things that we regret, we can usually make up for it, say I'm sorry and try to talk it out. But when you don't talk, you grow apart so much more. You know, not only even with just loved ones, but, you know, I've had friends that I haven't seen for a long time that we were, you know, like my college band, we spent every day together. We were so close, and I haven't seen them for years and years. And when we got together, it just, you know, I was all excited. I was excited to see them, and I realized how far we had grown apart. And that's just some college friends, you know. But if you have a loved one either that you're not seeing, or even somebody that could be in the same house, and these people that, you know, that grow apart, whether they're working too much and they just don't talk enough and they don't share, that can really do so much more damage than than anything that you say, because it's just there's a huge distance there that you have to try to make up for. You know, that for some reason the song Faithfully by Journey comes to mind, where he says he talks about being a music man and being far away, but then getting the joy of rediscovering. He says, I get the joy of rediscovering you. So, you know, that, you know, you can really go apart from somebody a lot by just even being in the same house with them, but not sharing and not talking. So very deep emotional piece.
Excellent. Thank you, Dan. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I think this was a great piece, and thank you for reading that. I don't know what was going on, but it wasn't working. But as always, you know, Titus has a wonderful way of writing. I think that he brought all this, you know, out of something that he had experienced. And he did a wonderful job expressing it. So thanks, Titus, for sharing that with us all. I appreciate it.
Excellent. Thank you. And he offers up a picture down the bottom. See that signature there with the nice, large, fancy scroll with the fountain pen? I can actually see that being written as is, with these love letters strewn across the years. And it hits on that note of not just the separation or for why they were separated, but how much was poured forth within these love letters, because he hits the note on all three stanzas, the end of the love letters, of the love letters, the end of the love letters. And there's a note of longing in the moment for what's to come, but also a note of sadness because of the amount of time and the heart poured into the love letters themselves. And Tom, you hit on that sort of fragility, and there is that in this too, because the opposite of the thought that mind become fears. There's that notation of, all right, what happens in the moment when we finally meet? I've done this for so long. This has been our world, so to speak. Now all of a sudden, it's being turned into reality. And then that last line, waiting the threat of what's not been said, that kind of hits on that note of, I poured my heart so out so much in these love letters. Now that in person, will I have actually the voice to utter the reality of the moment? It kind of holds that note of fear and fragility as well, even though it is a notation being apart that long, that it was soul-wrenching and destroying too, but to have the meet in the moment also holds a little bit of dread because of, oh, it's been that long. And will I have the voice and the wherewithal of thought to actually say exactly what I've been saying in person through letters over these many years? Nicely done, Titus. All right, Jane, we're coming to you.
Okay, Thomas, I just saw your note in the room. I was going to have Daniel read his piece and then come to you. Is that going to work?
That'd be cool. That'd be great.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you. Okay, Dan, whenever you're ready, I put your piece up. Thank you.
Okay, this is called Melt. A single snowflake, as a tear of winter's beginning, falls hopefully into my open hand to melt before I can ponder its unique pattern. As a raindrop infant, clear, pure, and transparent, it would dance in the light with prismatic kaleidoscope wonderment and capture the essence of starshine. And my fiery hand, like Satan's pitchfork, to which it sought nothing but solace and peace, was not cold enough to just accept. I remember the gentle dissonant of which it fell, and I wish I had its grace of harmonious white. And a reflection of thought on this reflective worlds, the blue of our veins in remembrance of the vast blue from which we came, the rainbow of humanity's skin that shines at a rainbow's end as when a storm does pass, the red of all blood in the fragility of life, as is the rose if picked too hasty, will defend with thorns, and blood and rose petals will mix. The black in the depths of our eyes, as the black void of color parched and thirsty to absorb. And in the white that surrounds our black empty focus, is the harmony and family of colors united. Protects our emptiness as the sun and its light. Let my eyes be free and the colors of perception melt into the starlight of birth. End poem.
Great read, Dan. Thank you very much. And Naomi, why don't we kick it off with you, please?
First of all, I have to say, Daniel, this is the first time we're on the radio together, but I just admire your writing so much. Like I say it every time I comment on a piece from you. You just write so, so wonderfully, and I just had to say that. And this piece is so beautiful. It's filled with hope. I feel hope, you know, all throughout it in the beautiful lines. I just feel hope for a new beginning here, new world, new you know. And that's what I feel throughout this piece. You say the red of all blood and the fragility of life is it, as is the rose, if picked too hasty, will defend her with thorns. So the fragility of life you talk about in here too. And but I see hope in this. So that's what I see. And it's so beautifully written. I mean, like all your pieces there, just so the fragility of life the melting of a snowflake. I think that's a beautiful metaphor, how everything can just, you know, just melt slowly away. But there's hope, you know, in the rebirth of new things. And, yeah, just beautifully written.
Well, thank you. You're very kind. I can't believe we haven't been on before. I'm so used to hearing your voice, I'm thinking that we were before because I listened to all the shows, but maybe this is the first time we've been together, so I'm honored. Thank you very much for the comment.
Nicely said, Naomi. Thank you. And Thomas, how about you?
I like how it switches with that. I remember the gentle descent of which it fell, and I wish I had its grace of harmonious white and a reflection of thought on this reflective world. And then we go from the transient, brief nature of snowflake and all that beauty melting so quickly in our warmth to looking at how humanity is its own fragility and its own passion and its own heat and color. I like the touch of white, the white that surrounds our black empty focus is the harmony of family of colors united, because both of them contain all the colors. Some really sharp and interesting thoughts in this. I just like the tangent that was sort of created with that switch of the reflective of thoughts of this reflective under reflection of thought on this reflective of world. Yeah, that, you know, it's graceful the way you brought this in with a nice preface. A lot of interesting thoughts, things to dig into deeply. Well done.
Thank you very much, Thomas.
Well said, Thomas. Thank you. And Jean, how about you?
Well, Dan, when I commented on this before, I said, you know, it's a wonderful work. Beautiful imagery throughout, and it is very much so. And I thought that your emotions were very well expressed. I think what stands out is how you pull the nature aspects in with the humanity, really. You know, you mentioned that at the bottom. It just goes hand in hand in this piece. It's kind of seamless the way you put it together, and I think that's what I find to be so wonderful about the piece in general. You have something human and something snowflake, raindrop, or whatever against it, and your points are so well made. So I think you did an excellent job with this, and thanks for sharing it with us. Absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah, I was thinking of the purity and beauty of white, but also how it's complex and it's kind of made up of everything, and I was just trying to compare that to ourselves. And I'm sorry, I didn't know I put this on the show before. I apologize. I would have done something different. I try to do a different one every time.
I don't think you did. I don't think you did.
Okay.
I think you had this. I think you had this in a contest.
Oh yeah.
And I made. And then, if you notice, I'm the only one I think of all of us that commented. So,
okay.
You know, maybe not. Gray Eyes did. I don't know. It may have been a different show. But
maybe
I might.
I don't know. I've done that before. So you never know.
Happens.
But all right.
Happens. It was worth.
Well, thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Great comments, everyone. Dan, that two-line stanza in the middle of this caught me, and a reflection of thought on this reflective of worlds was just the right note in the middle. Kind of, it hits on note of perception and how, well, one's perception does not reflect someone else's, and that is kind of the point of taking into account the amount of colored range that you roll within this, because you hit on the thought of Satan's pitchfork, to which it sought nothing but solace and peace, is not cold enough just to accept. And there's a kind of note of anger in that moment, even though maybe the anger should not be there. And the thought with reflection of the snowflake itself kind of offers that that purity of thought in the moment, minus the acquisitions that we lend to that at some point in time, walking one way or the next. Then you roll into the red of all blood, the fragility of life, as is the roses picked too hasty, will defend with thorns, and blood and rose petals will mix. There's that kind of notion again of a little touch of inflammation in the voice itself that might prove to be otherwise not reflective of what one would be to another. But the thought of the vast blue ocean, which we all came from, is again that note of no matter what color we all walk in, there is that note of thought that we all have the same blood and we all are born out of that very same ocean in the first place. And it walks very nicely into that end. Let my eyes be free and the colors of perception melt into the starlight of birth. Is that kind of backhand notion of walking back to originality where the purity of thought has not been led astray yet or formed. I'd like to go back to that position where I can see view things with a new look beyond the value of that which I may have seen beforehand. Nicely done.
Thank you. Amazing comment.
You're welcome, Dan. And we're coming back to you, Phil.
Okay. Doki, doki, okie doki, okie doki. Thomas B. And you
okay,
piece up next
here. This one's called Standalone. There was something about a wall. Demand it be breached, gotten around, not allowed to prevent or impede. Yet, we all need a wall now and then to keep inside what we cherish, to maintain a pretense we can keep others out or at least slow down their entrance. There are historical relics of our fear. They are the modern demand for control. Politics of fear needs credentials. A wall says it all. It is why we have doorways, gates, tunnels, ladders, and everyone's favorite, the detour. A wall is a temporary intrusion upon the achievement of a goal. Walls are hard to take down after failure. Our geography has examples everywhere. Little is learned by any of them. Many countries are happy to profit off the trade created by those who want to see, but are rarely willing to learn. Psychologists are paid big money to help in the destruction of internal walls, those that get past denial and intrude in fashions not accepted socially. Like sticking your head in the sand, little is prevented, much accelerated when a good wall is built. The best ones keep a roof over our heads. Does yours? End poem.
Great read, Thomas. Thank you very much. And Daniel, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, this is great. I love this a lot. This is amazing. Ed, you know, I'm not trying to get political here, but it made me, the first thing it made me think of besides the Berlin Wall was actually the Trump presidency. You know, again, I'm not going to get political, but, you know, I always thought
every
wall that he's trying to, yeah, there you go. His wall that he was building to me was a conglomerate of his entire presidency when he should have been building bridges instead of walls, you know, building walls behind people. And I really love the line, it is why we have doorways, gates, tunnels, ladders, and everyone's favorite, the detour. A wall is a temporary intrusion, a problem, the achievement of a goal. Walls are hard to take down after fail. I mean, I could, you know, read this whole thing again. It's a great, it's, you know, the wall is just such a great metaphor for just a barrier between. And, you know, it is really interesting throughout history, the political aspects of it, you know, whether it is the the wall between us and Mexico, the Berlin Wall, Hadrian's Wall. You can go all the way back to, you know, to whenever. So this is really nice. I'd love to see this in a magazine somewhere. I think it would be a really poignant piece, you know, in a first rate publication. So nice job, Tom. This one was great.
Thank you, Dan. Naomi, how about you?
Oh, yeah, I agree with Daniel here. This is an amazing, amazing piece. How you take it from geography, like real walls or, you know, just, you know, walls that are not there but created by dictators. I think of North Korea for one. China, they love the trade. They want the trade, but they stay, you know, they want their liberty, and they want to be like closed off and secretive from the rest of the world there. And, you know, they want just to have their own way, like a screaming baby sometimes there. But anyway, we won't get political, like Daniel said. And you take that, you know, you go through geography and you take that into like a human aspect, like a personal aspect down the way, like our own internal walls, you know, and socially too in society. And then you end with, the best ones keep a roof over our heads, does yours. So then you get even more, you know, into the personal aspect, I think, of our own homes. So this is just, you know, like Daniel said, I'd see this in a magazine too, you know, like this is just so deserving of a front page here. Tom, I think I'm going to nominate this. It's just wonderfully, wonderfully composed here, and so deep and so powerful. So bravo.
Oh, thank you.
Nicely said, Naomi. Thank you very much. And Gene, how about you?
He says that like he doesn't know who's next. You know, it's me. Don't be so stupid.
Well, I got an op between Gene or Phil, so. Whichever breeds is in the moment.
That's right, because you never know who I might be.
It's showmanship. He's got to do the, you know, the showmanship.
I know. It's a little bit of drama. I get it. I like
a little drama.
He's an MC.
There you go. Right. He's a good MC, like, yes, he is. Okay, Tom, I love this piece. I really did. It's got a lot of angles, you know, be expected, okay, because you always tend to hit a few different notes. And I think that it was well expressed. I think that I had something in my head till I started playing around, too. You know, walls are in everything. You know, it can be placed in almost everything. You know, when someone hurts us, we put up a wall. You know, as life goes on, we build a few more. You know, sometimes we're lucky if we ever get through them. Sometimes people are lucky if they ever get through them all. Sometimes they fool us. But there's just so many different directions. And, you know, it's not like you didn't know it, because you can see it when you're reading it. And I think it was written with a great depth of intelligence. And you can see that when you read it. And I think everybody can. Because we all see where you're going with it and the points that you're making. And I think it was just really well done. I am curious about the piece that you had seen by Jim. I don't know who Jim is, but Jim makes me curious what that piece
is. Click on it, because I put it up there because it's well worth reading.
Yeah, yeah. I'll have to check it out. It makes me curious to how that was. I'm sure it was just as wonderful. So, but yeah, really great job, Tom. Thanks for bringing it tonight. Absolutely. I hope you feel better.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, right.
Excellent. Thank you, Gene. Thank you, everyone. All right, Tom, there is it is all about the wall itself, and it could be about any wall that is. It is a matter of the wall itself is has been a historical note to control one's own fears, control one's surroundings, or control those that live behind the wall or those who live on the outside of the wall. It's that notation of separation of things. You hit on a number of angles that walk that way. The thought with that first stanza kind of hits me with that the thought of a child when they see a wall. They want past the wall because they want on the other side. There's that note to the climbing, getting around. Hey, anything, I got to get around it. But anyway,
right.
You hit on a number of things. The thought of having a wall to protect your things, whether it's inside your house, inside your mind. And then again, you hit on a note with a psychiatrist who tries breaking down those walls out of some abject fear that they've kept all these years over something, and or take that that fear out of them, or at least get to the point of handling that fear. You have to breach that wall itself made internally. And then that thought of life's like sticking your head in the sand is another way of hiding oneself out from that which is within your surroundings. And I like the thought with the best ones keep a roof over our heads, and does yours. It's kind of a nice thought to a glass houses. You don't throw stones at people who live in glass houses unless you have a staunchly well-fortified one, so to speak. Or the fact is you don't throw stones at glass houses because you may live in one yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a good home also has windows and doors in its walls too, you know.
Nicely done there. Thank you very much, Tom.
Oh, you're more than welcome. And I've really got to get to bed. You guys have been great. I really enjoyed this show. Sorry,
well,
I couldn't hang around.
Thank you for stopping in and hanging out for a bit.
Good night, Tom.
Feel better, Tom.
All right, Blandu.
Rest well. See you next time on The Price is Right. I'm all kidding. I've probably had to use my mind now. Oh, my God. Okay. Now, Naomi, I'm going to put the next one up, if you don't mind. It's by Cranky
yeah,
Angel.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I love that name already.
Yeah, I know. It kind of sticks at you. Yeah, I like that.
I am so afraid of morning. I am so afraid of morning. What I wouldn't do to never again wake to hopeless avail. I fall again a victim to the dawn. So cunning, the creeping, keeping me from sleeping. The sheer determination, the fatal trap that I was born inside. I cower at the sunrise and start the day alone. End poem.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you very much. This was quite the piece, the drop after Thomas's. It's a nice walk off from Thomas's note about walls, and there's that kind of note within this one too. The fear of afraid of the mornings because of afraid of meeting the new day because of what it might bring, or just a fact that they can't sleep, and there's that note of fear in meeting that new day to begin with. You hit the what was it? What I wouldn't do to never again wake. Fear of death in that note. So cunning, the creeping, keeping me from sleeping. Again, something is keeping you, your heart pressed. Something is gnawing heavily at the soul and the mind in the moment. Nicely done, Cranky Angel. And I might add, you're not getting any sleep. That might be the thought why you're a Cranky Angel. And Dan, what'd you think?
Yes. I definitely got to read more of Frankie Angel, if anything, just for her name. That's like my favorite new name now. But this is definitely, certainly, you know, a deep look into depression, almost a deep look into just the fragility of humanity in life. I mean, I've certainly felt like this sometimes before, like, I don't want to deal with the day. You know, we all feel that kind of, you know, that sense of almost security when you go to bed, right? It's a place you can kind of hide and disappear in, and the world isn't there. But then when that sunrise comes up, you're like, I have to get up and deal with the world now. You know, and who knows what's going to happen? And it's so, you know, it can be frightening sometimes to have to go out into the world. You know, whether you're depressed or not, you know, it depends on what the day is going to be. You know, we all have days that we're, I know I have to get up and deal with this thing today. Why can't I just, you know, why can't the night just last a little bit longer and just be able to sleep and relax? So a lot really in a short poem. Again, a kind of a deep look into how depression can feel. So yeah, beautifully written and you know, deeply introspective.
Excellent, thank you, Dan. All right, Jean, how about you?
This just seems like someone who doesn't want to do the day by themselves, like to be alone, mm-hmm. to not have someone, not looking forward to the things that are to come. I'm not so sure, you know, if it's just a loneliness thing or a depression thing or how it's supposed to come across, but I definitely get that loneliness. And, it's down here, it says, hope makes me think sadness. You know, and we're not creatures that we're not creatures that belong alone, you know. We definitely tend to want to be with others, at least one other, you know, so it's not just an empty void around us. And I think that that's how it struck me. And I think that she did a nice job stating that, really. I mean, it just, I don't know, I cower at the sunrise and start the day alone. I mean, I just took it right there at the end and made that my take on it. But nice job, thank you, Angel, and thanks for staying with us. And, you know, you're never alone if you can move that one.
I think you're right with that, because if you use that thought anywhere else in the poem, say, to start with, it doesn't hold the same strength as that ending note and start the day alone. It's almost ominous in that moment. Nicely said.
Right.
Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, I'm right along with the Jean just stole the words right out of my mouth. I was stuck on how she ended that poem with that word alone. And and exactly what she said. I feel the sadness and she said sadness and pain throughout this rite of being alone. And that's what I exactly the same. I got that feeling out of this rite, and it's very powerful, very deep and powerful right here for a brevity. Wow, it's very emotional, and great writing here, Cranky Angel.
Well said, everybody, and we're coming your way, Eugene.
All righty. Thank you, Dan, for hanging with us. Have a great night. Okay. Now, where was I going? Oh, I knew where I was going. Okay, we're good.
I'm going off the rails on a crazy train.
I've done that a few times. Done that a few times. So, and I lived
just up. That was too easy a lead-in.
Okay, I just put one step, so I'm going to put the sound so that it goes. So here we go.
This is called Dragons Compete. Dawn yawns as Deathdoor Dragon draws lines on Lavender Lake. trunk tucked, tickling tide, with thumb trained for trophy take. Ambassador Dragon, an empty aerial amber alleyway in air. Mist of Muscle Mountain, mirrors reflect, making men stare. Serrated slate stones sit shouting at silent shadowed shore. Perfume polished, performing puppet dragons demand more. Fake, flimsy, folded fingers fail as flying final feature flight flew. Dimple-dotted dragon carried crisp checkered checks to crew. Bubbled corkscrew champagne danced with spiked angry wine. Bronze embroidered bouquets whispered as thin the dragons dine. Marbled framed portrait with porcelainized clusters hangs overhead. Wounded, worn, winged warrior wears wintergreen ribbons to bed. In.
Nice job.
Great read, Wayne. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. Naomi, why don't we start with you, please?
I love the alliteration throughout this and the flow of the whole read. That was wonderful, Wayne, that read. And I loved how he took that picture and wrote to this. And I just love fantasy. I mean, you know, put a dragon in anything, and you know, and with a good story, and I'm right there. You know, I just love fantasy. And he used so many beautiful descriptive words throughout this piece. And I loved how he finished it off. Wounded, worn, winged warrior wear wintergreen ribbons to bed. I just love that last line. So this is an amazing writer, Wayne. A masterful alliteration all throughout. Wow. You know, just wow. Bravo.
Thank you very much, Naomi. And Gene, how about you?
Well, I think Wayne did a great job here. I think he told the story well, and it was nicely written. And, definitely a good piece. And as Naomi said, he matched the picture very well. He definitely pulled it off. So great job, Wayne. Sorry you aren't here to be able to read it or at least comment with us. But well done. Nice work.
Well, as I said, I like this also for the alliteration that rolls through this. That would not make for an easy read rolling off this off the tongue, but it does work well. And it kind of hits me at the note of youth in that first stanza. Dawn yawns as a daffodil dragon draws lines on Lavender Lake. Truck tongue tickling tied with thumb, trained for trophy take. It's that notion of youth in that opening stanza. And then the second one hits on that note, especially with that last one. Dimple dotted dragon carries crisp checkered checks the crew the middle age of life. And the back end of this, that third one, the bubble corkscrew champagne dance with spiced sangria wine. There's almost that celebration of the people, the elderly statesmen around the table noting their life, so to speak. And the thought with that last line, wounded, worn, winged warrior, wear wintergreen ribbons to bed, is a notice of the age to which that celebration is noted in the first couple of lines. Nicely done, Wayne.
Nice.
Yes, we do get dragonish as we get older. Gene, we're coming your way again.
I wouldn't know anything about getting older. Anyway... Let's see. I think that brings me to you, Rex. Wow. I'm a little confused.
Do.
Uh-oh. Yeah, okay, I'm not on. I thought maybe I was on mute when you did that. Yeah. Rex, if you would not mind, I just put that piece up by Edinburgh.
Oh, I see a little who in this one. See me, feel me, touch me.
Okay, right. Tommy.
See me, feel me, touch me by Eden Bray. Yeah, I guess the title works for the picture. She really cannot do anything, but I notice her body moving. She moves to touch her nose, readjust slightly her clothes. I see it all, her body shape, her movements betray her, everything beneath her jersey, below her dress especially. When her hair is messed, I can see her undressed. She knows the art of seduction. She knows when I am watching. And poem. Nicely drawn, even. All right, Gene, you get to kick this one off first.
Well, I thought that this was actually for my last Art of Seduction show as well, Damn That Smile. I don't know. I don't think her smile had much to do with this poem. But it was,
it's that concave smile that sits on the back end.
I think the smile was on his face, not hers.
Absolutely.
Let's see. But no, I thought it was a great brevity and very well done. And yes, I understand the other smile as well.
Nothing but, you know, got to smile at the thought.
Yeah.
All right, name is your turn.
Too funny.
Naomi, what do you think?
Yeah, when you wear those kind of dresses, oh my gracious, like they just shape your body and you can stop a man in his tracks. Like they just wrap you, you know, and they just mold every part of you. So, yeah, and I can just see him looking at, you know, at this woman with the dress and seeing all the shapes and this so represents, you know, all that, you know, he's thinking and it's well written too, you know. Her movements betray her, everything beneath her jersey, below her dress especially. And, you know, and even when her hair is messed up, he also imagines her undressed, you know. And, you know, you can imagine probably, and from a man's, if he knows this, we think in the poem, he projects that he knows this woman, but it's not because you wear a tight dress like that, that you're want to seduce her, but it helps. It helps a lot. But yeah, she knows the art of seduction. She knows when I am watching. Yeah, you know when men are watching, you know. Yeah. And it kind of, you know, you kind of like that. So anyway, yeah, this is a very well written piece. Yes, all through. And I can really see the man's point of view in this piece, and very well written.
Absolutely. He chose this picture deliberately. You look at, like you said, that dress molds. And clearly,
the
fantasy, he definitely did read between the lines, because that dress does work on its own lines, not to mention the figure itself. So he delved deeply within that fantasy to produce this, which is offering up that notation of seduction with him, as Gene said, having the smile on his face because, she's just noticing the other end of it. Yeah, go ahead, stare. You know, you want to see me. You know you want to feel me. You know you want to touch me, but keep dreaming. Nicely done, Eden. Thank you. All right, Gene.
Okay, well, say hello to Dexter.
Here you are.
Hey, Dex.
Hey. Sorry to end so late. It's my birthday at midnight.
Hi,
I just wanted to hang for a moment. Thank you.
It's almost your
birthday. Happy
birthday.
Oh,
my.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank
hey,
you. Absolutely.
I see by the eyes on that your notation there that you were staring between the lines too.
I know. Well, that's the unfair advantage that women have over men. I don't have anything in my closet that I can put on that's gonna get that much attention. You know.
Nicely said there.
I can pass you a dress or two, Dex.
I guess that might get attention, but not necessarily like the one I'm looking for, I guess. But so.
Yeah, but with Dex's point of view, he'd have to go that route, the kind of Benny Hill. I'd have to stuff with cotton what God had forgotten.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not saying a word. Not one word. Look, if I could get a dress to make me look like her, that girl in that picture, I'd be buying them all. That's what I'm doing.
Every color. Right,
where's the sugar daddies?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Now, I have to get back on track here. I'm going to put I put Frank's poem up. Does everybody still find it? And I'm going to hit the button for him to read it to us. Yes, I can see it. Here we go. Y'all ready?
Yes, yeah. Ready for a little bit of Frank.
Once upon a time, in the faraway kingdom of dreams, existed a hidden, immortal soul, unknown to the world, with a poinsettia heart and make-believe spirit that had dwelt in the nocturnal shade of a charcoal gloom in a castle. An eccentric stranger of pearly pale complexion, onyx eyes in the lips of the shadowy silence, within the cold scent of unwelcome despair, under the tristful tears of an ashen nimbus. A solitary wretch of piercing scissor hands, enveloped in a gothic mystery of a melancholy, from a dark world of reverence and ravens who croak and sing his elegiac threnody. From this black mist of sorrow and isolation, a radiant glow of the Tartarus light penetrates the sphere of caliginosity, bringing a tincture of the animated spirits alive of the vivid Christmas. Taking shape in the cool formation of wintry icicles, becoming the angelic dance of ballerinas, of pink swans, before the symphony of the sweet stir of nature's sounds, upon the colorful illustration of an orchestrated dance. Crystal snowflakes drop upon the ground so slowly as a figure of ice melts into the dripping dew below, a splash of celestial water brilliantly sculptured then into the pure beauty of a beautiful woman reborn. Two lovers embraced in a winter's ice dance, never to see each other's face anew. Thus ends this unique tale of love. In the poem.
Great read, Frank. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. And the music fit this very well. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Dex, you're the new body in the room. What you got? What do you think?
Yeah, I thought that this was a fantastic write. It kind of is, you know, the opposite of summer love. You know, summer love always is kind of, at its root, just kind of a short fling, you know, and it was just like, man, you know, that was a summer and it was kind of a memory. This is kind of going towards the winter side to it, and the winter side to it, maybe, you know, and this is kind of being wanting to settle down and to make it kind of a little bit more serious. But, you know, he did a great job of using metaphors and imagery to create this beautiful winter kind of scene and landscape. So I thought it was a fantastic write.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Dex. And, Naomi, how about you?
Oh, this is just magical. And, you know, it's so, he just hit on that so beautifully because I started out reading this, and then I thought right away about Edward Scissorhands. And then I looked below that video of his, and it's written Edward Scissorhands. So I was thinking, you know, Edward Scissorhands that meets, you know, like a ballet concert. I don't know if Scissorhands was made into a ballet, but maybe it was. This is just an amazing, amazing write. Like, I mean, it just sings off the page, and the way he read it too, just so beautifully. This is just you know, two lovers embrace in a winter's ice dance, never to see each other's face anew. Thus ends this unique tale of love. Yeah, there's a deep sadness in this too, you know, as the tale of Edward Scissorhands was deeply touching too. And he brings that out wonderfully in this words, and there's so many beautiful words in here. A ballerina of pink swans before the symphony of the sweet steer of nature's sounds, and all throughout, just a brilliant right here, Frank. I just love this piece, just enchanting. What a deep sadness that runs throughout in the end. It's just beautifully written.
Well said. Nice. Thank you, Naomi. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I thought I agree with everybody, and I have to say I thought it was wonderfully enchanting. I thought it was a great job and very well presented. So awesome job, Frank, and thanks so much for sharing with us all. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. I was caught with some language in this too. Elegiac serenity, such a nice drop in the and calignosity, Tristal Tears, Vanash and Nimbus. Cleverly played out, and I like the thought of being that lonely old, that lonely soul with a poinsettia heart, that one hidden from view, so to speak, the Frankenstein in the moment, and the thought of finding oneself with the vivid Christmas he's got here, the formation winter icicles, and then offering up that note to ice sculpturing. A brilliant, let me see, the dripping dew below, a splash of slush, the water brilliantly sculpted then into the pure beauty of a beautiful woman that had born. Two lovers embrace in the winter's ice dance, never to see each other's face anew. There's that note of finding your place in the moment that everyone can see the beauty past the ugliness shown on the outside because of that which you can create from what you have, those scissor hands. Nicely done, Frank. All right, Jean, we're coming to you.
Okay, we have 11 minutes. I'm going to try and do two poems. I have Martha Gettles and I have Dexus. So let's give it a whirl. Let me put Martha up and hit her SoundCloud, and here we go.
It Made Me Smile by Martha Gattle. I hope you're hurting still. The pain holds you against your will. Pain you brought to others holds you now, and you can't escape it anyhow. I heard that she walked out on you, just like you did on more than a few. I heard that you cry and moan since the day she left you alone. And I have to say it made me smile to think that you would hurt a while after you broke my heart in two. It's nice that it happened to you. You told me that she was the one, that you and I were just done. Then you walked out my door, said I'd never see you anymore. And I have to say it made me smile to think that you would hurt a while after you broke my heart in two. It's nice that it happened to you. Yes, I heard it just the other day that she left you the very same way. And though the pain for me is gone, I hope for you it goes on and on.
Great read, Martha. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And this is quite different. Normally, it's a love song that Martha gives us. And here it's, hey, I got some revenge. I get to laugh while you cry. Nicely done, Martha. This is very different. Thank you very much. Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, talking about karma, eh? It just came back and hit him in the face. She just went all a hoot here. And, just blasted this guy right in a... and her amazing way there of composing songs. This is different from, like you said, Rex, from a lot of her other songs, but so well composed, Martha. I really had a chuckle out of this one. So really well done.
Excellent. Thank you, Naomi. And Dex, how about you?
Yeah, her SoundCloud carry with them almost like the feel of like a Dust Bowl farmer or something. They seem like they're just from such an era of that is timeless, you know what I mean? And I don't mean that in an insulting way. Not many people can capture that feel or that vibe. But I like her attitude. It's kind of like mine. You know, everybody's kind of, you know, always been like, oh, I'll take the high road. Sometimes I just like to go, you know, gosh, F that person. That feels great. You know what I mean? That should have happened to that person. And I'll dance around for tonight. So anyway, great song call.
Hey, Frank's laughing at the moment. He's thinking your answer is a real good one, and he's having some fun with it. Thank you, Dex. All right, Gene, how about you?
Well, Dex, that's the beauty of karma, just saying. I think that Naomi, oh, my God. Sorry, Naomi. I think that Martha did a wonderful job with this. I mean, you know, she just put it out there, and it is unusual. Usually she's, you know, singing about something, you know, loving and whatever, a good relationship and, you know, like Beck said, every now and then you just gotta tell it like it is. You know, sometimes you just happen to see people get what they deserve from what they've, brought on themselves. So, you know, I liked it. I think she did a good job. So, nice work, Martha.
And as it is, we're back on you.
Oh, see that? I must have missed something, but it's okay. That's not unusual. Okay, Dex, I'm going to put your piece up next. So here we go.
Right. This is my soul's fire escape. Awake for what has felt like eons. My tired eyes and tired mind have handed my body a cool bottle of fatigued faith. Severed hope, the ghost within me is a frightening one. for the bounty in which his friendship costs, you must marry the shadows that hid just out of sight and chased you running up a flight of stairs and your childhood into embers of innocence. Yet I shake the dreams from my shaved head in order to fit in and have been dying a methodic, painful carousel financed by the electric church ever since. Now is my future apology to my past self, to extend my hand to the stranger I've known my entire life, giving me solace in the sweet forest where my anguish and mistakes can exist vast and radiant. Your eyes are the secret password. Come with us and feast upon the jeweled moon, the only protection we have from the divine mockery the sun burned into our flesh. End poem.
Great read, Dex. Thank you very much. All right, Naomi, why don't we start with you,
please?
Yeah,
I see this as somebody who learned from his past mistakes and went on to growing and learning from them. And and I see it as a not only personal but a society as a whole too. Society that awakes from its past mistakes, and that the cost of everything, and that is going into the future. That's what I read into it. This is an amazing right here, Dex. I was enthralled the whole time. I was just, you know, like reading along with you and just waiting to see how it was going to unfold there. I was just intrigued by this whole write and just amazingly well written words in here. I just love financed by the electric church. I wonder if that's an allusion to how religion had a hand on society for such a long time. I don't know. But, I was just enthralled by this whole rite. So, bravo.
Thank you, Naomi.
Thank you, Naomi. And Gene, how about you?
Well, Dex, like I said before, you know, I thought this was fabulous work. I thought it was well done. And I said it was a great take on the prompt. I'm not that familiar with this song, so I must have heard it at that point in time. So I'm kind of like laughing at myself going, I have to go back and listen now in order to figure it out. But I do think
this
it was a lot of great.
From the post contest you allowed me to host, so I appreciate that. You allowed me to host the Doors Ghost song, so thank you.
Gotcha. I was that familiar with that song, and I'm going, how silly is that I am. But definitely well done piece. And I'm glad that, I'm glad you brought it with you tonight. You know, what are you going to do for your birthday?
I might see some friends tomorrow, you know, try and stay out of the newspaper and the Channel 5 news, you know. So, so that's kind of worth it. So thank you all.
Don't get in the newspaper. Be good.
Well, Dex, this kind of hits me with the ghost within me is a frightening one for the bounty in which his friendship costs. You must marry the shadows that hid just out of sight. In which his friendship costs. That has an ominous tone to it. Maybe giving up too much of oneself to have the friend that kind of leads you down a not a very pleasant path or a different path. And then you hit the thought, I did like that when it came to the finance by the electric church ever since. But I'm not sure if that's actually in delineation to the church itself or the fact that maybe that's just a metaphor for the angle that was taken. Now, from there down, now is my future apology to my past self. There's that extension of rebirth in that moment, understanding where you've come from because of where you've been, and now where you want to go, and that is extending your hand to the stranger you've known all your life but haven't realized there's more beneath the skin of self than that of the promise of from empty thoughts from people. And you understand the note there that the secret paths were come with us, feast upon the jeweled moon. There are dreams to be had if one takes the time to actually indulge within those thoughts.
That was around the time period. That's pretty good, Rex. That was around the time period I got into the idea that when I heard that the devil is actually, in other cultures, just considered the dynamic of life, the necessary change that we go through. So I got into playing with that idea that the devil's not the devil, but he's just the necessary part, the uncomfortable part that we need to experience in life. So that was, but anyway, thank you, Rex. That was pretty good.
You're welcome. All right, Gene, we're coming back to you for the closing comments.
Well, let's see. Closing comments, God. Let's see. thanks everyone. Wow. Thank you to everyone for joining us tonight. Appreciate it. Thomas, Naomi, thanks for calling in like right up front. Dex, thanks for calling. Dan, always a pleasure to have you. Rex, thank you so much for co-hosting with me tonight. God knows I needed all the help I could get, especially after I got started and I went, oh, what am I doing here?
That's because I overslept and took a nap. And I heard you, oh, maybe I shouldn't have taken a nap and should have just slept instead. Well, I took the nap and woke up tired.
I'm telling you, I did. It was awful. I put my head down. I woke up at like 9 o'clock, 9:15, and I'm going, yeah, uh-huh, yeah. Almost like being hungover or something. I was like, doggone. But I appreciate everybody's help. And thank you, everybody, for the poetry. 12:30 is Ephesiana and Babbler and Part Sinner, Part Saint. So if you can, give a call in and keep them company. The girls are always happy to have callers. And, that's pretty much it. Tomorrow night is, I think, Gray Eyes, I think. Yes, tomorrow night.
Gray Eyes, he's
kicking off our week of Christmas. Yes, he is. And next week we have all kinds of things lined up. So, yes, check it out. Check out those time boards. And we'll be all ready to rock and roll. So, yep, that's about it. So you all have a wonderful night, and thanks again. Appreciate it.
Good night, everybody.
Bye, guys. Good night.
Care.
Thank you.
Good night,
buddy.